Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 76 of the Weekly Long Box. I'm Todd, joined with, as always, Leonard. How are you doing today, Leonard?
I'm trying to find the knob on this microphone so I only come in one channel.
There is a mono button if you hit up in the top of where we record.
Really?
Yeah, we should try that.
We should. We try way too hard to make this podcast sound professional.
We do, and our capabilities, it's shocking how well we sound because of what, you know, what we can do.
But. I kid because I love. You know, obviously everyone can't be as good as those of us in the Grizzly Bear Network and have the helping hand of the great Jim Metzendorf to make our garbage sound good. So everybody needs to get in the same network with us.
Yes, an engineering wizard.
Yes. So how's your week been there, Todd?
Pretty good. Over the weekend, I laid around, as usual, watched Doctor Who and the draft. So I was a happy camper.
Now, this, I have no one to blame for this other than myself. What was this talk about, a special about the fourth Doctor?
Oh, well, every month now, because November is going to be the 50th anniversary, they started in January, that they have a documentary about each of the doctors.
A doctormentary?
Yes, a doctormentary.
Oh, boy.
And then, you know, so each one, and then they run a classic episode afterwards. Well, this was the fourth Doctor, which was my first Doctor, and as you know, you never forget your first Doctor. So it was kind of fun to just, like, you know, I equate it to, like, you know, you watching old, you know, Stan Hansen Lariat videos.
Ah, there you go.
So to me, this was like my youth come back, like, and it was the first one that they could interview the Doctor because he's alive, and I thought it was really cool.
So, were there interviews with, like, the current doctors about how the fourth Doctor inspired their life?
No, the current one hasn't been on, but Tennant was number 10, and he shows up occasionally and talks about, you know, watching them as a kid and stuff, so I don't know, it's weird. But the guy who's writing and overseeing the major arc is the one who's narrating them, so that's kind of cool.
Uh-huh.
I know you're riveted.
Well, I was wondering what's going on with this Doctor Who nonsense. I've had enough of it.
Well, you only have, I believe, 7 more comics to go, and you're good?
Right.
So
I hope that, and again, I am doing this only just to get a rise out of you and all of our listeners that are Doctor Who fans, and this will be the end of it for this episode. We'll get into the news, and there's a lot, and we'll get into the comics, and not a lot. I'll pay extra for the variant copy of issue 12. Mm-hmm. That comes with the extra long Q-tip that I could rub that part of my brain to forget the 12 issues that I just read.
Oh, my God. You want me to get the mind eraser out?
I'm too amused with myself after that one.
That was a good one. So I'll go into, like, you know, the show opening if that's okay.
What do we have to talk about news
this week? We got tons of news. The comic industry is on the upswing.
Yeah.
Ton of C2E2 news, like a certain book gets canceled, and we have Leonard's obligatory Balthazar and Franco news.
Hey, listen, somebody online said they were the bell of the C2E2 ball, and I'd be hard-pressed to disagree with that. They had a lot of good stuff come out of C2E2.
Well, they are pretty enough to be bells.
Yes.
But we also have what we read last week. We only cross over on two things, I think, All-Star Western and Guardians of the Galaxy. And then we have some other stuff, new book, Jupiter's Legacy.
Yeah, I'm very interested to talk to you about that one. I didn't get a chance to get it because by the time I got to the store, it was all sold out.
Oh, or maybe it just got missed. Who knows?
That never happens at our store. For shame.
Never. We have what we're looking forward to this week, and I think we're going to pull a double on this one again.
You think?
I actually do. I think we're both going to pick the same book.
See, because I don't think we're going to.
Really?
Yeah. All right. I like it. I like it.
All right. Mystery. Mm-hmm. We also have a sketch party.
Yes.
Sweeping the nation, as I always say. And the Twitter question was, what character should have never been in the Avengers?
Yeah.
And I might have to call an audible on this because I want to see what you say about a few answers and see which way I want to go.
Okay. Okay, because this one, for me, was between, like, two or three people. Actually, between two people, definitely. And then somebody reminded me of one person as well. But we'll get into all that at the end of the show.
Okay.
So, let's start off with the news. I just want to mention here, one of my favorite sites, Comics Alliance. A lot of friends of mine, people that I know in the industry, you know, internet friends as they were, wrote for that website. And it shut down very quietly on Monday.
Yeah, go ahead.
They had no updates whatsoever during C2E2, and I know some of their contributors were actually at C2E2 reporting on it. And they put up their Monday news item, and then that's it. It was owned by AOL, Time Warner, and they shut it down for a myriad of reasons, essentially. They just decided to, you know, cut the fat there. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on with some of the bigger comic sites. You know, the different companies that are branching out, like AOL stopped the Comics Alliance. We saw the person who headed up the comic book division at MTV, at their MTV Geek site, leave the site. She's the one who started it. So it's weird to see, like, these bigger companies kind of go away from comic books when, you know, as Todd mentioned at the top of the show, direct market is up, and of course we're right in the heat of the summer season when all the big comic book new movies are coming out. You gotta think, you're cutting back on traffic by eliminating these sites or eliminating these venues.
Yeah, like you said, you know, it's a hot commodity right now, especially with all the movies in the summer and stuff like that. You can touch on that. To be honest, full disclosure, Comic Alliance was a site that I never really frequented. So when I heard about this, I was like, oh, okay, another site falls. But as you're saying, more and more behind this, you wonder what's going on. You wonder if maybe they're going to try to unveil, like AOL itself, try to unveil something bigger and better. They might have an idea or a brand, you know, like, because from what I read, that, you know, Comics Alliance was, you know, a news site with some you know, skewering commentary and stuff like that. Maybe AOL just wants to have their own comic book news site.
Possibly. You know, that they can kind of control a little bit tighter, I guess. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. We'll see down the line.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm sad to see it go. I know my friends there will land on their feet. They're all very talented people. And maybe they'll bring back their Twitter account where they do a page-by-page review of the Twilight novels.
Oh, hey, you're not busy. Maybe you could start a comic book news site.
Oh, goodness. Oh, my goodness. I was going to make a remark there. But no, my plate is as full as it's going to be.
Oh, I was hoping one more thing.
Yes, yeah, so let's just heap it on. But, you know, as Todd had mentioned at the top of the show, you know, the specialty market, not the direct market, of course. You know, your brick-and-mortar stores and even online, the first quarter sales are up. Before C2E2, they have the big summit for the retailers. I think, like, merchandise was up, like, 47%, which is just crazy, which was an overall increase with graphic novels and individual sales, up a total of almost 30% from last year, which is awesome.
I have two words. Walking Dead. 47% of product was up, of, you know, and 90% of that was Walking Dead.
I think a lot of people might be reading, like, Batman. A lot of the new X-Men stuff is bringing some people in.
Right. I'm just kidding. I'm talking about a lot of the, like, you know, you're starting to see, like, Walking Dead backpacks and Risk and Walking Dead Battleship and stuff like that. So, but, you know, it is. And that brings in more people, and then they try stuff. And there's a lot of good stuff in the industry. And I say nothing helps the industry than well-written, you know, books. And we have a lot of that right now.
Yeah, it's easier for us, Todd and myself, being comic book fans, to get other people to read new stuff when the stuff that exists that you can go to the store and pick up is good.
Yep. I think you should always have, like, a few, like, the industry is good when you have a few of those instant books in your head. When somebody walks in and goes, give me something good to read, and somebody goes, Saga, Batman, you know, Walking Dead, like, these, there's, you don't have to sit there and go, like, it's something that seems to have an overall, like, you know, like, a broad tastes can like this stuff. So right. It's not just like, oh, well, it's Superman, you know, not everybody likes Superman. But you have stuff like that, so you could give it to almost anybody.
Yes. Now, this is going to be one thing that's going to lead us into our C2E2 talk of, you know, some of the things that were announced. DC, no real big surprises. Marvel, not huge surprises, but some interesting announcements. on their end. But it also came out through Diamond, I guess, at the Retailers Summit, that this year, because of the dates that Christmas and New Year's Day fall on, which are both Wednesdays, this year and next, those last 2 weeks in December, comics are going to be out on a Tuesday.
Hmm.
That, like, they're going to be, like, they're allowing the stores to sell on Tuesday.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what holiday it was that Dave got the books in on a Monday. Like a while back, but yeah, I can see that because it's really cool to, you know, you're going to lose the Wednesday, so have the book ship in. The only thing I worry about is I've seen when, you know, they had to work around Christmas a couple of times,
mm-hmm.
That with all the, you know, gifts that are being sent, you know, that people sent before Christmas, that it got crazy. And I remember a couple of times UPS promising Dave, our local comic shop, that they would have his books there in time, and they just couldn't deliver everything. So his books had to sit until the next working, you know, day for UPS and stuff like that. So
it'll
be interesting to see. Like, that's a crazy time for delivering stuff. So hopefully they have all the kinks out.
It certainly is. Well, you know, they're making their plans here some 8 months in advance, and this is to get me prepared for having 2 weeks in a row where I have to pick up my books on a Tuesday, holiday Tuesdays nonetheless, and then go right back to the regular scheduled date. Oh, it just messes with my OCD.
And then if it snows, I have to bring them to you. It's crazy.
Oh, it's crazy. It's crazy. I agree. So, getting into the news from C2E2, we mentioned that. The thing that I wanted to mention from DC is there's been speculation about it for several months now that the next big September event for DC is going to be a Villains Month with renumbering of all the books as number ones and, you know, certain books turning into other characters' books, like Batman's turning into Riddler. They hinted that Justice League might be turning into Secret Society of Supervillains number one, and for me, it's going to be an organization nightmare.
Oh, boy. For me, it's going to be pretty simple. But that's what happens when you just pick up your books on Wednesday and then, you know, put them in a brown paper grocery bag. But you have your system.
It's going to be a logistical nightmare. It really is.
I'll have to hold your hand.
I'm going to need some assistance. I really am.
You're going to have your wife talk you down.
So that was DC's only real news. They teased a lot of stuff. They hinted a lot of stuff, but they didn't really make any big announcements.
I think, you know, this is one of those that you times a year, you know, it's early. It's not even May, or well, it is May today. You know, you're at the end of April. Just, I don't know if they have all their ducks in a row. I think, you know, as we get closer, Baltimore will be maybe the first big one where we'll start to get some news.
Right. So, yeah, we'll definitely see. Well, Baltimore, no, because San Diego, well, they said they'll be making the announcements for the September solicitations probably the next 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, 2 months from now is San Diego, and that's when, like, the big stuff will come rolling out, you know?
You're right. I had Baltimore before San Diego in my head.
Yeah, isn't Baltimore September-ish?
It is, now that I think about it, yeah.
Yeah.
So, sorry about that.
No, it's okay. Again, all these cons seem to meld together.
And I don't get to go to all the ones that I want, so.
No. So Marvel's big announcement that they made is, as you had mentioned, the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who is this year. The 50th anniversary of the X-Men is this year as well.
Mm-hmm.
So they're doing a whole bunch of different things there. They're doing a Battle of the Atom crossover with the X-Books, where a crazy far-flung team is coming to our present time, just like we have the team from the 60s come to our present time. A team from the far future is going to come to our time, and it's like Wolverine's kid, a crazy messed up Beast, a crazy messed up Iceman, Deadpool, Molly from Runaways, a bunch of other characters, and it's some really cool designs that I saw on those from, was it Art Adams, was it?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a big Wolverine announcement that his mucking around with the time stream in the Age of Ultron thing is going to somehow affect his healing ability. And there's going to be a storyline called Killable, where Marvel came right out and said, this echoes a plot line of the upcoming Wolverine movie, and the end of this storyline will be, in quotes, a major media moment.
Ooh, wonder what that means.
It means they're going to It means issue 2 of the Wolverine book is out 2 weeks ago. Issue 7 isn't coming out until September, which means when issue 7 comes out at the beginning of the storyline, they will have already spoiled the end in the USA Today.
No, that never happens.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'd be surprised, more surprised, if they don't do what I think they're going to do to him.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting to see what they do, because you know how death is very permanent in the world of comic books today.
Death? Nobody said death. I didn't say death. You said death.
Well, they said killable.
Well, that just means it's possible.
Right.
See, you're jumping to conclusions that, you know, without facts and evidence, so.
Yeah, but facts and evidence never got you anywhere in the world of comics.
That is true. That is true.
So the other announcement from the X, the world that Marvel had, was that X-Factor is officially going to be canceled. This is a book that has held on for a long, long time. Now, it's unclear whether or not they're going to cancel it and maybe renumber it, or that it's just going to be canceled and be done. Mm-hmm. But the June story arc there, it's going to be 6 more issues. It gets to the uneven 263rd issue, and then it's done.
Yep, I'm going to be sad to see it go. But, you know, it's one of those books, it's... Literally, it went from, I think, 1 to 50 and then jumped to 200 to get the renumbering back. So we had that, and then we had 63 issues on top of that. So that's like 10 years of X-Factor. I'm fine, you know. I know certain books have to go away. Then on top of that, you had the Madrox Mini, which was awesome. So, you know, it was a good run, and I was very happy with it. But all things, you know, especially with an X on it, come to an end.
Yes. And I think it was probably, like, outside of that weird Age of Apocalypse story arc that was going on with some of the other ancillary X books, those just got recently canceled. I think that made X-Factor officially the lowest-selling X book.
Mm-hmm. So it was only a matter of time.
Yeah. I'm sure it'll just be relaunched with a new creative team with 19 covers. We'll see.
Ooh, hopefully Chromium.
Hopefully Chromium. A Chromium Kevin Maguire cover, and you're all over it.
I'll take 10.
So just to kind of wrap things up with the C2E2 news, as Todd alluded to, again, as mentioned, Baltazar and Franco had some big announcements there. They had the release of the first 2 issues of Aw Yeah Comics. They hoped to have the first 3 issues. They only had the first 2, but they were available for sale, and I know those of you who... contributed to Kickstarter. They said they're going to be mailing them out once the third one is done, which is hopefully going to be by the end of May. Also, the first issue is available up on Comixology, and they have partnered with Thrillbent, Mark Waid's digital initiative, to put this book out digitally. And I know that was a question amongst a lot of us contributing to the Kickstarter to see how this would be available, if it would be available digitally. And even though I contributed to the Kickstarter, and even though I will be getting my issues in the mail, I did buy the first issue digitally. I like supporting those guys.
Well, you got to support the guys that you like, so they'll make more.
Yes, indeed. And one of the other books that they announced coming out sometime next year is in the vein of Tiny Titans. For Dark Horse, they are doing Itty Bitty Hellboy.
Ooh. Can we say that on the show?
We just did.
Okay.
So so it's unclear whether or not it's going to be an ongoing, whether it's going to be a one-shot, whether it's going to be a big giant special. All we know is that it's coming out next year for the anniversary of Hellboy. I'm excited. I love their art style, and I could see them having a lot of fun with those Hellboy characters.
I know you're a bigger fan than me, and I'm even thinking that there should be a law that Balthazar and Franco have to do a kid version of popular books. Like, you haven't made it until, you know, they do their thing with your property. So I'm thinking we should push that somehow.
I think we should. I know Marvel had that Chris Giarrusso, who's like a letterer or an inker for them. He did the Mini Marvels book. Let me look. I have it right here, actually. Mm-hmm. The baby reads them. But they have lots of pictures of Iron Man in them.
Oh, Iron Man.
Yes. Chris Giarrusso, he wrote and drew kind of like the Mini Marvels, the little kid versions that you would see going all the way back to like the late 90s. Mm-hmm. And he gave like Hawkeye like this real fun personality, gave Spider-Man a really cool different personality, had a lot of fun with some different takes on a lot of the storylines. And I would have loved to have seen him do a collaboration with Baltazar and Franco and do like a big Marvel versus DC mashup.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, like little Star Wars, just go down the line. It doesn't matter. Make a little Twilight, stuff like that. Little Doctor Who.
Oh, little Doctor Who. I thought we got the Doctor Who talk out of the front of the show here. Come on.
I'm just using properties that instantly come to mind. You make up the properties.
Okay. So one last thing that I wanted to mention in the news before we get into, you know, all the other stuff that's going on this weekend. It is a huge weekend for comic books. But I was talking to a friend of mine over the weekend. I might have mentioned to you before. He is just now starting the new 52 books.
Right.
And what he's doing is he's reading, like, what he wants to do in, like, a full clip. Like, he's like, I gotta read Flashpoint before I get in the new 52. Ugh. So he's read, like, all the way up to Aquaman. He's read all the way up on Justice League. He's read all the way up on Green Lantern. Like, those sort of things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we got to talking about this month upcoming being the last issue of Geoff Johns on Green Lantern. And, you know, I'd mentioned to him your theory from all the way in the past that once Johns gets that third to fourth book, one of them starts slipping and then one eventually falls off.
Mm-hmm.
And you would think that being third in charge at DC, that's probably like writing like six books.
Probably. There's a lot on his plate right now.
Right. So with the dropping of Green Lantern this month, Aquaman is actually a week late. Aquaman, usually a fourth week stalwart, is coming out this week, so it's a week late. And the next issue of Aquaman that comes out right at the end of the month is being written by John Ostrander, not by Geoff Johns.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there was rumors when the art shift changed after that Justice League crossover that Johns would be leaving that book. And I think with Ostrander doing a fill-in so soon, you know, with, like, no advance solicitation, I guess.
Right.
I can see Johns maybe leaving this book, you know, by the time that September event rolls around.
Because I know I thought I heard rumblings that he wanted to leave Aquaman. So, mm-hmm. You know, I could see it coming, you know, move on to other things. What's he doing now? He's doing Justice League and Justice League of America. And
right.
Obviously Green Lantern's ending. So mm-hmm. Maybe just two books. You know, he only helped with Vibe in the beginning. So maybe he's doing, you know, got something for, you know, a bigger plan down the line. Is he doing Trinity War?
Well, he's not writing the Justice League Dark issues of Trinity War. Geoff Lemire is.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's a crossover that he's heavily involved in.
True. I was wondering if there was going to actually be a Trinity War book. So.
I don't think so, because they said they're doing there's the Pandora book that comes out in August,
mm-hmm.
which goes along with the Phantom Stranger book that comes out in August. There is no Question book that comes out anytime, but maybe that'll be the wrap-up of everything with the September books.
Right. And I think he might be in Phantom Stranger, so maybe that's where they'll shove him.
Hmm.
So, who knows?
Interesting. So, yeah, it just, you know, it was just so funny because I didn't see this news come out until I got home from this past weekend, and I saw that Johns was already having a fill-in issue. I knew Aquaman was a week late, so I could see this book fall in as well. And like I said, he's third in charge at DC right now. That's got to be, like, writing, like, six books. It really must be, like such a pain in the butt.
Right, right. And God knows what he's doing with movies and, you know, DC trying to get that going. So, yeah, who knows? We'll see. Maybe he's got another book plan that we don't even know about. San Diego's for.
That's what San Diego's for. Exactly. That's a great point. So we'll see. I'm going to give the first issue of the new writer on Green Lantern a whirl. And when the announcement of John's officially being off Aquaman, we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what happens.
Me too. I'll be in the same boat you are.
Yep. So the two big things that are happening this weekend, one is Free Comic Book Day. Real Free Comic Book Day is Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I will be out of town, jet setting as I am wont to do between North Carolina and Atlanta.
Two cities.
Searching for a comic book shop somewhere in between there so I can go and partake in an outside Free Comic Book Day. I know our local shop, Comics on the Green, is having artist Scott Beatty there.
No, writer.
Writer, my apologies. I know he did the Robin Year One stuff for DC.
He did the Ming the Merciless miniseries.
That's right.
For Dynamite. He's done a bunch of those, like encyclopedias of the DC Universe for Dynamic Forces and stuff like that. He's done a bunch.
So I'm going to put the link in there for all the stuff that's going to be available there. And if you have a local shop in your area, don't be a freeloader. Go pick up a couple of those books. But also check out their sales. Buy something. Try something new. If he's you're not someone who goes to a shop regularly, I'm sure Comixology will be having some sort of something in conjunction with Free Comic Book Day this weekend.
And he's going to have a face painter there. I'm thinking of getting a kitty.
This...
What?
You're going to get the Peter Chris, what is it, the kitty?
Yeah.
What's he the Peter kiss?
He was the drummer. He had the cat. Oh, he was the cat.
Dana Gould, the great comedian Dana Gould, he has a whole bit in his routine about how Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park was where you found out that Peter Criss sounds like your old aunt. It's like, Demon, Star Child, we have to save Timmy and Linda. And it's like it sounds like a bad version of Top Cat, how Peter Criss didn't even show up for some of the scenes, so they just had his stunt double be there in the Kiss makeup.
Right, right.
Oh. So, I need to see a picture of you done up with the Peter Criss Kiss makeup.
Oh, should I shave or leave the beard?
Nah, leave the beard.
With me too, I'm like with Family Guy. There was the episode where his wife dresses up like Peter Criss when they go to Kiss Stock, and she didn't know, she wasn't actually a fan, she was just doing it to support Peter, and he's like, I should have known you weren't a Kiss fan when you picked Peter Criss. Peter Criss doesn't even want to be Peter Criss.
Oh, poor Peter Criss.
Poor Peter Criss. He's no Ace Frehley, though.
So. That's right, I was actually just going to say that. He's no Ace Frehley.
Oh, Ace Frehley. No regrets. I want to read his autobiography.
Oh, boy. I hear he doesn't know most of it.
He doesn't. He doesn't. Yes.
So, go check out Free Comic Book Day. And also, if you have some free time this weekend, go check out the Iron Man 3.
There's an Iron Man 3?
Yes. Iron Man 3 comes out this weekend. I know it's already been released overseas. I think it did something like $180 million its opening weekend internationally. Which beat what Avengers did internationally on its opening weekend.
That sucks.
Well, it's setting the benchmark high for the rest of you summer movies out there, Man of Steel.
That's right.
It's like
Iron Man beats Man of Steel. That's what I want to hear.
So I'm going to do my darndest to see this on the trip. While I have two Chikara events that I have to commentate for, luckily a majority of my car ride are people who want to see the Iron Man 3. It's just hopefully the logistics can have that work out.
Literally, later today, I have to go pick up a bunch of tickets for a bunch of us to go see it on the Thursday 10 o'clock showing, which now that they have 10 o'clock showings is awesome.
Yeah.
I think we even discussed this. I'm doing a ton of 10 o'clock showings this summer. But I'll have it done and in the can by midnight Thursday night.
Nice, nice. Now, the reason I wanted to bring it up is because I am of the mindset, and I like to pass this mindset along to other people, especially for these big summer blockbusters, especially for movies that you want to see. Don't ruin it on yourself. Don't watch the videos. Don't read the reviews. Don't. I can't stress that enough. There's a friend of mine from the Super Secret Science job, and we've been talking about Iron Man 3 for months. And he came up to me today, and he's like, I've seen all the clips. I'm not going to go see it in the movies. You were right. And he just walked away with, like, his head down. He ruined the movie for himself. Don't be like that. Don't be that. Enjoy these movies. Go see them the way they're supposed to be seen. Like, outside of it just being called Iron Man 3, that's all you should need to know.
I'm totally with you. I was actually talking with on Twitter with somebody this weekend about how, like, you know, to watch the Guillermo del Toro Pacific Rim trailer, the new one, or don't watch it. I'm like, I'm not going to watch it because I don't want anything ruined. I don't want to know any movie. And then somewhere I was looking something up and the trailer started. You know how they have the things before you see something now? They have the ads. And it started. I'm like, I'm not going to watch this. And I was like, this is cool. I'm not going to watch. This is cool. Oh, man, I watched the whole trailer. That sucks. It was awesome. But, yeah, I'm with you. We go to the same school. I try to watch nothing. So, So, but maybe I'll just sit down and read everything I can about Iron Man before I go.
Oh, no. just ruin it on yourself.
That's what it is. That's what I like to do. I like to take the pleasure out of everything for myself.
And I also want to mention that my good friend Brian has a blog that he is doing called Be a Little Weird, and you can catch the links off my website or my Twitter. I've written some things for him recently, one recently about Kickstarter, another one just went up yesterday in regards to Free Comic Book Day, just kind of a little bit of my thoughts on Free Comic Book Day, some of your best bets for you and the whole family. For Free Comic Book Day, so you can check that out as well. I'll probably put that in the show notes here instead of the Free Comic Book Day link to give him some traffic, if you will.
Sweet. You're doing something else, too? That's awesome.
Oh, yes, I am. I'm always doing something.
You want to come over and cut my grass this week, too?
No, I have to cut my own grass. It's the saddest thing. It's the first thing I have to do when I come home on Sunday from my trip.
Oh. that's nothing better than getting home after a long weekend having to cut the grass.
Yeah, that's
don't you
good
have
time.
Like seven gardeners up there?
No. I don't trust him to do it.
Oh, that's right. You know what? They're probably trying to get into your house and get information off you. So
probably that sounds like something they would do. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to mention about the digital books that are available for free, and then we'll get into what we read from this past week. Marvel, of course, has their stuff available. And I always feel weird with Marvel having books available for free for a limited time because, you know, they gave away a bunch of these books just recently for free, like 700 of them. But I guess, like, you snooze, you lose. You know, you got to wait for them to come back up.
Hey, that's, you know, I get it. You know, we're only going to give away for a little bit of time. Get in there. If you don't. Too bad.
Yeah, so. One of them is Iron Man 2 Public Identity, which is a tie-in to the Iron Man 2 movie, which I think they had before as a freebie, like one of their weekly freebies.
Mm-hmm.
They have Ultimate Human, which is written by Warren Ellis with art by Kerry Nord, who did one of my the arc of Daredevil that got me into Daredevil, and it's the Ultimate Iron Man versus Ultimate Hulk.
He did Conan for the longest time. Yes. I loved his Conan.
Yes, and Avengers Prime 1 is available there, and that's by Brian Michael Bendis with art by Alan Davis.
Mm-hmm.
So check those out for free. It's also Bandette is still available for free on the Comixology site, at least until San Diego, possibly longer. Who knows how long Monkey Brain decides to allow that out there. And I stumbled upon a not Kickstarter project, but an Indiegogo project that DC was doing in conjunction with their We Can Be Heroes initiative.
Mm-hmm.
They have a bunch of really cool options that are available, and I'll include that in the show notes as well. If you are, you know, and this was really interesting as well because it's for a charity, and this was the part that I really liked about it. You know, obviously you're going to get something if you donate, of course, but it also tells in there, since it's towards a charity, how much of it is a tax-deductible amount.
Oh, that's cool.
Right. And the things start as small as 10 bucks where you're just going to get 10, you're going to get five different digital downloads of Batman books. And it's all the Batman books that come out this month for the month of May.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, and then that's 10 bucks. And then you can get for 30 bucks, it's a year print and digital subscription to one of three books. And it's either Detective Comics Batman or Batman Superman. They had copies of Arkham City signed by Kevin Conroy. They had lithographs. They had invites to a DC event. They had a meet and greet with Jeff Johns. But the number one thing that was on there that was picked up was for $15,000. You got a private screening of Man of Steel.
Oh. And you did that, right?
No, goodness. If I knew about it in advance, I probably would have cobbled it together because it was for you and 100 of your friends to see it earlier than everyone else.
Ooh, how much would that be a person?
Math wizardry, $150 each.
We should have did that.
We should have did that. If I knew about it beforehand, I would have cobbled together 100 people. We would have got to see Man of Steel early. But, yeah, so check this out. This one's good for another, like, week and a half, I think. May 10th is when it closes. And it's for a very good cause. And, you know, those lower-tier things are really good. You know, $30 for a subscription to a book, and it's for a, you know, for a charitable donation. You can't beat that.
No, you can't.
And just continuing on with what else. So I noted that, Bip. Hey, let's talk about our sponsors. You know, we're not a nonprofit. Unfortunately, we're not as nice as DC with their We Can Be a Hero. We got to pay the bills around here, Todd.
Yes, we do. Whoops.
No whoops. Go visit our sponsor at bakemeawish.com. Now, we're recording this a little bit early, so we don't know what the super secret cake of the month is for May, but whatever it is, that is what you need to get for your mother for Mother's Day.
A cake for Mother's Day would be a great idea.
A great idea. And I was talking to a friend of mine a while ago, lamenting about how I have so many people in my life that have birthdays in the month of May. And I said, almost every single day in the month of May, someone I know is having a birthday. And he said, that's impossible. And he was right. Out of the 31 days in the month of May, I have 25 people that I'm close with of varying degrees who have a birthday in the month of May.
You know what that means?
That's a lot of cakes.
Yep, and you have to get 6 more friends.
To even it out, yes.
Even it out. That way, one cake a day for the month.
Well, some of them are dum-dums like my twin brother who shares a birthday with me. And I can't even move him to another day that's close because, you know, June 1st, I know somebody who has a birthday. May 30th, I know people who have birthdays. Ugh.
It's crazy.
I always joke with my wife whenever we do our Christmas list every year. I'm like, yeah, you know, this is the perfect time to start cutting people out of our life.
Ooh. I'm nervous.
No, you're safe.
Oh, cool. But, yes, definitely. Like I said, my motto is less work, more cake, that every time. But.
So definitely go check them out. You don't even need to tell them that we sent you. You know, they'll know that you got it from us.
Yes, they have a crazy algorithm thing. They'll know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing Skynet or something.
Skynet. So where would you like to begin with our shows, our books from this past week?
Let's start with something we both read. You want to go with Guardians of the Galaxy?
Sure. You can go ahead and start that off.
Once again, this to me isn't... I had more fun with the Abnett and Lanning Guardian of the Galaxy, but I do really enjoy... you know, Guardians of the Galaxy. Like I said, a little off on the artwork with, not the artwork, but actually the design of Star-Lord's costume. But everything else I enjoyed. The one small nitpick I might have is Rocket Raccoon is a little bloodthirsty.
Okay.
But other than that, I enjoyed the book.
I don't mind him being a little bloodthirsty. That's okay, especially since he was quoting Pat Cooper.
Is that what that was?
Yes.
I did not know. When you tweeted that the other day, I was like, oh, Pat Cooper. I think that's Alice Cooper's uncle.
But, no. Oh, my goodness. How dare you?
Is he the comedian that used to be on that terrible Stern show? Is that who, yes, Pat Cooper is? Okay.
Yes.
All right. I never knew that's who that was, but when I saw you, I was going to ask you. So...
Yes, when he says, I'm a genius of myself, that's actually something because of Pat Cooper being on the Stern Show, I say all the time in my private life.
Ah, okay. I've never heard it, but I'll take your word for it.
Very rarely am I around you where I have to exclaim that I'm doing something genius-like because everyone around you are so much smarter than me.
Ah, okay. Gotcha. But how'd you like the book?
I like the book. I like this issue better than the... first two issues, the zero or the .01 issue or whatever it was, and issue one, there was a lot more going on in this, and we start to see what's going on behind the scenes as why Earth is being considered off limits.
Mm-hmm.
And I will agree with you, it's not as fun as the old Abnett and Lanning series, but really that was like such a fun book, and I think did a really good balance of the spacefaring stuff, of the high adventure stuff, and of the fun stuff, and didn't sacrifice any of them, if right. that makes any sense.
Yeah, I got you.
Right, right, right. So I still like this book. I know last time we had talked about it, it was on the to be maybe put aside pile, but no, it's safe for at least another month or two. It no longer has the red tick mark next to it.
Lower DEFCON level now.
Yes.
So yeah, and I'm keeping it, like I said, just in definitely with the Infinity stuff coming up, it's probably going to swing out of this, but I'm enjoying it. And you know, Cosmic, Marvel Cosmic, it takes a lot to make me throw down on it. So
yep, and this is the only real Cosmic book, and I really like the art in this, and I think we might have talked, and maybe some other folks, about the redesign of Star-Lord. It's not as in my face, even though I love the previous design of Star-Lord. I don't hate this design of Star-Lord.
I'm just going with the mask. To me, it's the mask. I love that look of, during the Abnett landing run, and now it's just a plastic face shield, which I think, is what, like I think I said before, what they'll do for the movie, so you can see the guy's face. But, yeah, it doesn't kill me. It's just there's some, some designs that I really love and would like to see not go away sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So.
So the next book that I'd like to talk about is the other book that you and I read, which means you get the back half of the what we read last week, and I can just chime in with some questions. And that would be All-Star Western number 19. This was the book that you and I were both looking most forward to this past week.
Yep.
And we could talk about it here, because I think the bloom is off the rose at this point.
You think maybe the WTF moment has been blown?
I definitely think so. Booster Gold is in this book.
Is that who that was?
Yes, it is. Yes, okay. It is. Jonah Hex, All-Star Western, has been good for the 20-some issues. Todd corrected me last week that zero issues count.
Mm-hmm.
Has been really good for the time that I've been reading it. It makes me feel bad that I wasn't reading it previously. I do like the insertion of Booster Gold, one of my sleeper favorite hit characters. And I thought this was more of the same great stuff, just with Booster Gold in it.
I liked it a little less.
Oh!
I didn't hate it. I just think it's tough to swing in a future character. I think they did really good because, they didn't have him, flying or anything like that. But it was just, it was weird because there was the bookends with Jonah. And then we had the story of what happened with Booster to get him there, or why he was the sheriff or whatever. And I thought that was really good, but it's just a harsh to me, as I'm an old fashioned Jonah fan. I was reading the Jimmy Palmiotti and Gray run, that there's none of this stuff in it. I've read a few time travel stories from him before, so it doesn't completely throw me for a loop. But yeah, it just caught me off guard. But in the end, we got back to a few things with Jonah at the end about the things he can do and still bounty hunt. Made me happy.
Yes. Now I did want to mention that apparently it's been solicited that there's a storyline after this one is over where Jonah comes to our time.
Right, I wasn't sure if that was in the three-parter with Booster or after.
I think it's after.
Okay.
And then the other thing is that Booster sure knows a lot about Jonah Hex.
Yes, he does.
Mm-hmm. Curious.
Mm-hmm. And he met him before Flashpoint. Maybe that has something to do with it, too.
I wonder if it has anything to do with the No Private Army blog.
I don't know what that is.
I'm lending to the conspiracy theories that are out there.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
Yes, so I enjoyed this. I'm sad that you liked it slightly less, because you were the man who got me into Jonah Hex.
That's fine. I've had 90-some issues of the regular Jonah, and then Vertigo, then 70, I think, of the Palmiotti in this. One down issue. There's been a couple of down issues over those 200 issues that I've read, so I'll be okay.
So continuing on with the books from last week, where would you like to begin from the books that you read last week, since the rest of them are all yours?
I'm going to go with East of West to keep that kind of Western motif going.
All right. East of West number 2 from Image by Jonathan Hickman, known from Fantastic Four previously and currently of the Avengers books in Marvel.
And Dracota, who drew FF with him at the time, who I was not a big fan of on FF, but he looks so good in this. And this is a futuristic, like, Western story with the four horsemen of the apocalypse, Death on his own with a couple of sidekicks we're not too sure about, and then the other horsemen are looking for him. And this is one of those books that, like, once again, there's a lot of mystery going on, but I don't feel overwhelmed with it, if you know what I mean. Sometimes people can just pile it on. We just know that Death has a vendetta, a bunch of people who did something to him, and the three horsemen are trying to get these people that run the reservations together to do something. Like, there's America was hit by an asteroid back in the old West, and instead of, you know, being the United States of America, it's split up amongst these nations, not just, you know, Indian nations, but like other stuff. And we're finding out how the government works with them. And even though it's, you know, it's a little, you know, confusing, it's brilliantly written. I like the dialogue in it. The dialogue alone is, you know, just has that, you know, Clint Eastwood, like, you know, one-liner Western feel. And I've really been enjoying it.
So it hasn't, you know, it's not like the world building like he normally does. Is enough meat on these first two issues for you to kind of feel like you're reading something that's, you know, not going to pay off like in 6 months with no real, I guess, movement in the story, I guess?
Yeah, he's world-building enough, but also making the characters interesting enough and giving you just enough that, to me, it's almost the perfect balance, which is really rare with Hickman for me. I'm occasionally he loses me, but this is really good.
Well, that's good to hear. Maybe I'll keep my eyes out for this one when it comes up in trade, and I'll check it out.
Okay. But
so moving on
to Jupiter's Legacy by Mark Millar and Frank Quitely.
Yes.
This was a book that I actually forgot was coming out. If it wasn't for our retailer asking me if I wanted to pick it up, because he knows I'm a Mark Millar fan, I'll pick various things up. This is basically a book about at one point, there's a down-and-out family who was rich guy and a bunch of his friends who are searching for an island in the beginning of this. And it's between World War I and World War II, I believe, and, you know, the Great Depression. So he's lost everything, and he just feels that he has to go to this island and jump forward. Apparently, I guess he found it, and it's our time now, and the people who are with him have superpowers. And that we're, you know, this is them, they're older, and the next generation of heroes who, you know, are more media, you know, interested in media and interested in, you know, being popular, while these older guys and women have that old-fashioned mentality of America, like, you know, if you can make it in America, if you work hard, and America's the greatest country, and that old-time, like, sensibility mixed with this. And I really don't know a lot of where it's going, but there are some really cool scenes that I think Mark Millar, like, shines at in the books that he does. And there's a great scene where they're fighting a villain, and the one guy gets inside his mind, and he's trying to be polite to him while, you know, the people outside are beating him to a pulp. And it's just an interesting take on stuff like that that I like about Mark Millar.
So is this set up as a, do you know if it's a mini series, if it's set up to be an ongoing?
That's one of the things that I miss about comics that were a mini series, that they would definitely have like one of six on it. And nowadays you just don't know. I didn't read the solicit, so I have no idea if this is an ongoing, a mini, a maxi series, what it is. But I enjoyed it, and I like Frank Quitely's art on this. He did a good job.
Right, and I was going to say, I really like Frank Quitely's art. I can come or go sometimes at Mark Millar, and this was one of those books that I also forgot was coming out. You know, it got solicited quite some time ago, and then I think it fell a little bit behind from when it was originally supposed to come out, and then by the time I got to the store on Wednesday, they were all gone.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Maybe I'll lend it to you.
Yeah, I hear a lot of good things about it. A lot of people are talking positively about it, you as well. And it's an interesting premise. I like the premise of it. It sounds pretty cool.
Yep, and like I said, it's just the starting base, and some stuff happens. I want to see where it goes, and that's always that's just a good sign of like writing a number one issue.
Mm-hmm. So. You got to keep them coming back for more.
That's right.
Yes.
Just like us.
We hope so. We hope so.
I know.
So the last book that you wanted to talk about was Talon number 7.
Yeah, Talon number 7. This is one of those books that I know you dropped because you didn't like where it was going, or you just got bored with it, or...
You know, our good buddy DJ, I do his list for him, and he just recently caught a ton of books, coming to me saying that he has a Mendoza line, that a book needs to be as good as or better than this book.
Okay.
And there's certain books that I'm going to read because I'm a fan of the character, I'm a fan of the creative team, whatever it is. But when I'm picking up something new, it's kind of like, I don't have a specific book that I think of, but there is definitely like, was it better than this? No? That's a book that's on the edge. So if it's not better than a book that's on the edge, then you're below the edge.
Right, right.
And after like the first two or three issues, I know I got like the zero issue and then one and two, what was set up, it was different, like it was outside of the... it was outside of the main Batman universe enough for me to consider keeping it, but it was too far outside of, like, the Court of Owls. It was very steeped in the Court of Owls stuff.
And I always think it will be, because that's his agenda, right, is to bring down what's left of the Court of Owls. Because the character... I mean, you could always change the character to go in a different direction, but that's the only reason he exists. If it wasn't for the Court of Owls, he would just want to be... a regular guy doing a regular job, and this book has been up and down for me a little bit, but I have always found it fun enough and interesting enough to go, and this issue is one of those that really jumped out at me, because we've had a couple of characters do some interesting turns on stuff, and the whole thing, we're starting to find out a little bit more about the main character, Rose, that he might have been in Haley Circus as an escape artist. So that's maybe, like, you know, that's where they kind of saw him to make him the next owl, and he escaped. And then at the end, a Batman villain shows up to be with it, like, in the next couple issues. If you read, I think it was Detective, whatever it was, the 19 or whatever it was, that would have been the 700th issue, the big thick one. There's a mini story in there that explains how that character gets over to here. And it's just the mix of everything that this book, this issue really wowed me. And I'm like, I'm glad I kind of stayed on it.
So was it a surprise? Are you interested to see where this is going? Because obviously they spoil the reveal with the flip cover, of course.
Right. It didn't, you know, ruin anything for me. Because like I said, somebody had told me of it from Detective, but I'm actually pumped to see this character and to see them go at it, and who brings him in is interesting, and I just, you know, it's been really cool.
Well, I'm glad the book is still good. You know, I'm okay that I'm not off it. You know, I have enough Batman in my life. I have a lot of Batman in my life.
Mm-hmm. See, what I like about it is it's not Batman, even though it's in the Court of Owls, so
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I like it better than some of the other stuff that I'm reading, so I've decided to keep it around.
There you go.
Yay.
So it's a lot of Todd books this week, but that's okay. Todd feels that we're going to both have the same book that we're looking forward to this week coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So I am going to ask you, Todd, yes, what is the book? Actually, you know what? I'll go first.
Okay.
I'll go first, and then you could... exclaim with glee or thumb your nose at me as though you couldn't believe that I picked such a ridiculous book.
Okay.
So the book I'm most looking forward to coming out this week is a number one.
Okay.
It's by a writer that we're both fans of, even though you got some heat with this writer.
Okay.
The book I'm most looking... And we learned at the Reading Comic Con, the Super Show, that this book is not politically motivated, even though the original ads would make you believe that it was about the 1% and all that sort of jazz. It's not so much. It's The Movement from DC by Gail Simone and Freddie Williams, with covers by Amanda Connor and Cliff Chang.
Surprise, surprise. That is also...
Oh, really?
My book. She's done some books that I didn't like, but she will get 50 books on Secret Six alone. I will try a first issue every time that she's doing. I love Secret Six. Wonder Woman didn't care for that much. Loved a lot of Birds of Prey. Her Batgirl was good. Wonder Woman, I didn't care for. So yeah, this one I'll give it a try. If it's too political, you know, like you said, they said it probably won't be. I'm out, but I got to give Gail Simone a chance just on Secret Six alone.
Wow, I'm surprised.
What, you think that we're going to fight in the street or something, me and her? No, it'll be all right. It'll be all right, Leonard.
I hope so. I hate to see two people that I like so much have grievances.
Oh, well, you're going to have to choose a side someday, Leonard.
And when that day comes,
may God have mercy on your soul.
May God have mercy on my soul, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get into sketch party stuff. Getting a lot of the fan submissions, which I really do enjoy. Evil Dave Ellis, who we have not heard from on Twitter in a while, he put up his friend Richard Frank Novak's Superman, which is a very interesting avant-garde piece that he did that was really cool looking.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Senior, who always contributes a self-drawn piece, put together, as he put, Patton Oswalt's Avengers team, and it was a sketch of Moon Knight and Spider-Man together.
Okay.
Our good buddy DJ put up the Neil Adams Batman that he has, and then yours is a Luke Ross Jonah Hex page.
Yes, I felt with our All-Star Western this week, that would be a good one.
Yes. So what's always a good story behind your pictures?
This is one that I actually got off a website called The Artist Choice, which I actually got to meet Luke Ross last year at the New York Comic Con, but this one was one of them. I love, he did the first six issues of the Palmiotti Gray Jonah Hex, and he did it in a nice shaded style, which is beautiful. Like I said, I think I see a hint of Clint Eastwood in what he's trying to do there with Jonah Hex. Spoiler alert, I'm a Clint Eastwood fan. But Artist Choice does these sales once a year, maybe twice a year, but I know definitely around Christmas, where they will just slash prices. They'll be like, all right, you know, X amount off this. If nobody's in costume, X amount off that. If they're in costume, this much off a splash. And the Jonah Hex Luke Ross pages were ridiculously cheap. And I actually think a bunch of us went in on it and got a bunch of different pages. But that's, you know, I highly recommend checking the Artist Choice out, especially when it gets close to the end of the year, to get some really good deals.
But that's a really nice piece, and you had mentioned about the shading style,
right,
that was used on it. I know our good friend Tom uses that style as well, and I really enjoyed it in that. I didn't get a chance to see it over the weekend, as I had mentioned, but I did check it out today as I was compiling the show notes. And, so that was really cool.
Jealous much, Leonard?
A little bit.
I know. But, yeah, I love my arts.
So, again, as always, thanks to everyone who contributed to Sketch Party. Just throw the hashtag in there, Sketch Party. I think we need to think of something else for the Sketch Party, because whenever I do the searches, there's some other Sketch Party thing that's going on.
Right, there is, we should call it, I don't know, we'll come up with a name.
We got to come up with a new name. We're open to suggestions.
Yes.
So, our Twitter question from last week, of course, before we delve into that, if you want to be a part of that, or if you want to be part of Sketch Party, and you can email me, of course, lfchikarson@ymail, if you're adverse to Twitter, but Twitter is the way to go. Twitter is going to be our primary method of social media interaction for you, the listeners. You could follow the show at Weekly Long Box on Twitter. You could follow Todd on Twitter at Roker the Joker. That's R-O-W-K-E-R the Joker. And I am LF Chikarason. That's LFCHIKARASON. And if you are in the greater North Carolina, I think it's, I don't even know where the show is this weekend. I'm just along for the ride sometimes. I don't even know where they're taking me. They just put a burlap sack over my head and say, let's go. Gibsonville, North Carolina, and then Porterdale, Georgia, which is in the greater Atlanta area. If you were there this Friday and Saturday, I will be there with the Chikara crew rolling into town. We're not the troublemakers. The troublemakers are in different cars.
Yours is the reading to the blind car.
That's right. Laying hands on the sick, you know, that sort of thing.
Gotcha.
So our Twitter question from last week was, who shouldn't be an Avenger? Pretty much everyone in the Marvel Universe has been an Avenger, and I do want to help. I want to thank longtime listener Michael Hanskar for giving me that link that I could tweet out to everyone, just in case you were not familiar with everyone who's been in the Avengers, so you could really scour over that list to figure out who shouldn't have been in the Avengers. And we had some interesting choices. A couple people picking on Moon Knight, and we pick on Moon Knight, but Moon Knight's okay. He's like West Coast Avengers material, and that's not saying anything bad. Hawkeye led that team, so that's pretty cool, right?
Yeah, I'm thinking more East Coast or Great Lakes Avengers for Moon Knight, but that's your opinion.
Well, Zeus Ramos on Twitter, Cusack Clone, mentioned Dinosaur of the Great Lakes Avengers. And I have a soft spot in my heart for the Great Lakes Avengers from their appearances in the Joe Kelly Deadpool book and the miniseries and one-shots that have come out from Dan Slott over the years of those characters. So I got a soft spot in my heart for them.
Okay.
We had a couple people mention D-Man, Demolition Man. That was Noel Margate and Rick Williams, Vegas Margate and Free Karate Chops, respectively, on Twitter. I'm all right with D-Man. He's kind of like the Puck of the Avengers, you know? Like, Alpha Flight has Puck, they got D-Man, you know?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Jared Catherine, a Credaman dude, I'm finally getting used to his Twitter handle, mentioned Dr. Druid, and I'll tell you this. Up until about 4 or 5 months ago, I would have been right with you with Dr. Druid. But if the Hawkeye comic, besides being awesome, has taught us nothing, Dr. Druid helped Hawkeye set up his sound system. So that gives him a pass.
That gives him a one, or that's it now?
Yes.
Okay, so next time he falls.
He's an honorary Avenger for life.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe he just got one free pass.
No, that's a free pass. He's good to go. He doesn't have to hand in his Avengers card ever.
Gotcha, even though he's dead.
Well, allegedly.
Allegedly.
Nobody's really dead.
Death is permanent in comics, kids.
Now, the one that really made me scratch my head was listener Wobbly Neil on Twitter mentioned Hank Pym. Hank Pym's an original founding member of the Avengers. How could he not be on the Avengers?
Didn't he give the excuse, and I'm kind of starting to go his way, slapped his wife around and created the robot that destroyed the world?
Listen. He had two bad days. It happens.
Two bad days. Okay.
Okay, they were maybe the worst days ever, but, and it happened twice.
Okay.
You know, shame on us.
All right, I'll give you that one.
But I'm all right with Hank Pym. Okay. But the far and away runaway leader from our listeners was Gilgamesh, the Forgotten One.
You know, I forgot him.
And you were the only one to make that joke.
Was I really? Awesome.
No.
Oh.
No.
Here I believed it.
Of course not.
Okay.
So, my choice, and again, I know you said you wanted a ruling on your choice,
mm-hmm.
but my choice to me was between three people. Two people initially right off the top of my head.
Okay.
One was Spider-Man.
Okay.
Spider-Man's kind of a loner character, but he always teams up with your street-level type heroes, so I can kind of sort of buy him maybe being in the Avengers. He's been in the Fantastic Four before. Hey, you know what? I'm not a huge fan of it, but why not? Spider-Man, you're okay. You can be an Avenger. Then somebody else reminded me that Daredevil was an Avenger. Now, Todd, you're going to say, Daredevil was an Avenger? How could this character that's only been created 2 years ago be in the Avengers?
I was going to ask that, but since you did it, I don't have to.
Daredevil, they did a big hoopla around Daredevil joining the Avengers and was in one issue. And never to be referred to again, never to be brought up again. Daredevil is another character who works best by himself. He shouldn't be an Avenger, but all right, one issue. It was kind of a stunt, whatever. I'll give you that. For me, though, one person alone. The person who epitomizes the flip side of the Avengers coin. You know, they even did a whole storyline where they battle each other just a year ago. When you think about the X-Men, when you think about the mutants, you think about Wolverine. Wolverine should never have been on the Avengers, ever. That's just ridiculous.
Why? He's on every other team.
Let the Avengers be the one team that doesn't have Wolverine. That's what makes them special. You got Hulk, you got Iron Man, you got Thor, you got Captain America. Sure, sure, sure. But we're the only ones without Wolverine? That's what makes you stand out. That's what they should be. They shouldn't be called the Avengers. They should kick Wolverine out and change the name from the Avengers to the only team without Wolverine.
See, you say that's what made them special. I think you're not special unless you have Wolverine on your team.
But if Wolverine's on every team, how can every team be special?
Everybody gets a participation trophy, okay?
Oh, my goodness. You and your participation trophies. Enough.
Okay, but okay, I could see that one. That was one of them that was on my list. But your ruling, I don't even have to go for your ruling because mine's Spider-Man. I just think everything that epitomizes Spider-Man, I've read them off and on. It's not like I'm, Spider-Man, number one fan or anything. But I always just looked at it as like when I was reading Avengers and Spider-Man was in it and he had like, a nice apartment in there and Aunt May was staying with him and he had everything going for him. I was like, to me, this is the opposite of everything that Spider-Man is. This is too good for him. And he should have always have like it seems like he's getting somewhere and then bam, something bad happens. But I don't know. I just like it. His luck was running too good when he was with the Avengers. So
Spider-Man is all about the struggle.
Yeah, that's the best way to put it. Yes. And when he's, living large, he doesn't have to worry about rent and, he's in the big Avengers tower. It just doesn't work for me.
I'm 100% in agreement with you, and like I said, Spider-Man was my also-ran. He was my very close number two. But like I said, Wolverine is just... Man, I like me some Wolverine, but on the Avengers, that's just crazy talk.
Yeah. No, he should be on every team. I forgot. Power Pack has Wolverine this month.
Oh, boy. But. So... I think that wraps it up for everything that we need to talk about from this past week. We do have our question for next week. Todd, do you want to handle this one?
Yes, I do.
All righty.
With earlier, before we mentioned it's the 50th anniversary of the X-Men, which X-Men team or book together was your favorite run of mutants? Like, could be like the Chris Claremont, team with X-Men, the Rob Liefeld... X-Force run, other stuff like New Mutants, technically, they were, a mutant team. So it doesn't have to necessarily have X in the name, like, something like Static would fall in. But which era of any X mutant book is your favorite?
Oh, I like that. I like that a lot. That's going to take me a little bit to think about. I'm not as, I'm not a huge X person in the past.
Right. Huh. I'm not a huge X person, so that made it easy for me because I've only read a few X runs.
Yeah, but I know X-Men. They're one of the more popular, character lots in the world. So yeah, what is your favorite era of the X-Men?
Mm-hmm. It was Ecstatic, is what I'm thinking of, not just Static. Sorry.
Right.
Right. You got you. You were mopping what I was spilling.
I gotcha. I'm with you. Mm-hmm. So I do thank everyone for listening to the show. Todd, unless there was anything else you wanted to kind of wrap things up with?
No, I'm good.
All right. So I do thank everyone for listening again to episode 76 of the Weekly Long Box. For Todd, this is Leonard, and we will catch you all here next week.